Hello, and welcome to Freudian Quips, a WPRK 91.5 FM radio show dedicated to promoting mental health awareness through the examination of popular culture and global current events. I'm your host, Dr. Samuel Sanabria.
And I'm Dr. Derek Palladino.
Yes, and today we are going to kick off our show with a special mini-series on relationships.
Sam.
Yes, Derek.
I was wondering if we could talk just for a minute.
Okay.
You know, we've been doing, we're in a third show right now, right?
This is our third show, and we are talking now.
Yes. Yes. And I think what you've been doing is wonderful. You're great.
Yeah, that's a given.
You're a fantastic person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You warm a room. You warm a crowd. Your compassion hits at least two people.
Oh, I know of. Yes. Okay.
Kind eyes.
All right. Get to the point. What are you trying to say?
So what I'm feeling, and I'm feeling this because I'm feeling it from you mostly, is that just maybe this isn't working out as wonderfully as we hoped it would work out.
Are you breaking up with me?
Well, no, if that's what you want, I mean, those are your words you're using right now.
No, you're putting words into my mouth right now.
I heard you say breakup.
Yes.
I was thinking more of just taking care of you, like you looking out for you. And that's where my heart goes.
Okay. Well, then I don't know. My eyes are stinging right now. I'm at a loss.
Well, that's the Febreze I sprayed in the air, probably.
Okay, so we're not breaking up then. Is that what you're saying?
Well, but here's the thing. So we both come across different paths, and I think, you know, it might be nice for us to take just a little bit of time apart.
Okay.
How about
a week?
A week apart?
Yeah, a week apart, and we come right back next week.
Okay.
I think that sounds great.
Okay. Good.
My gosh. I'm so glad that we resolved that.
Yeah.
That's what I love about a relationship. We, you know, we talk to each other, we work things out just like a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So what's our topic today?
Okay, so
by
today,
the way?
Well, okay, as I mentioned, this is a mini series on relationships.
Yeah.
And we're going to specifically talk about the dark side of relationships.
So what about today?
Today, we're going to talk about breakups.
Oh my God.
We
kind of intro that, didn't we, a little bit.
And how breakups affect us, and share a little bit of information about that, and end up with how we can, or just share a little bit of tips on how we can survive breakups.
Yeah. How do you get through something that could be so painful?
I don't know. Have you ever gone through a breakup?
Of course.
You have?
Yeah. Have you?
I've never been broken up with in my life.
I'm
very fortunate. Absolutely. Very fortunate. But I have had the experience of breaking up with other people.
How many people have you broken up with? Like 25?
Actually two.
Two
people. That's
right. Not that many.
No, I haven't really dated a lot of people.
So you've had longer relationships.
I've had longer relationships. Yeah. Yes. So I've had the displeasure of having to break up with somebody, but I have had the pleasure of never being broken up with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I feel a little bit fortunate. But what about you?
Well, I've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I think many people have experienced both sides of the breakup.
Well, I haven't.
No, well, of course not you, because you're very special and wonderful. Well, and remember the scintillating eyes that we were talking about before. And it hurts. Like being on the side of the breakup where you're the breakee.
Yes.
Does not feel good.
It doesn't feel, I know. I could imagine it not feeling good. You know, let me tell you, I was, this past week, I went away on vacation with my family and we went to California. And we ended up in Los Angeles. As you know, it's the entertainment capital of the world. And I could not help but be inundated with news reports of all these celebrity breakups that's been going on. I mean,
tons of them.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you some of them, which I'm devastated by. But did you know that our very own Tiger Woods just broke up with Lindsay Vaughn?
Did he break up with her, or did she break up with him?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nick Jonas broke up with Olivia Culpo. Patrick Dempsey with Gillian Fink. Britney Spears with Charlie Ebersole.
I don't know who he is.
I don't, neither do I.
They were married or together?
No, they were just dating each other. Yeah. Ben Affleck with Jennifer Garner.
That's sad.
That is very sad. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then this is the worst one. Okay. This is, I came across this while I was in LA, and it is big. This is a big one for me because it hit me the most. All these other celebrity breakups, you know, okay, fine, whatever.
You were feeling like, these are sad and it doesn't feel good to hear them, but
yeah, but it didn't
impact
me. I can
get through it. Right? My life is continuing on. I'm a strong person.
And you know what? well, that's, this is a testament to how strong I am.
Okay.
It didn't impact me at all. Can you believe that?
So cold-hearted. I should have broken up with you.
Apparently, yes. But the one that hit me the most was Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog.
So
they were
sad.
After 40 years of being in a relationship together, they just couldn't make it work.
It was an interspecies relationship, too. Kind of my area of research.
Apparently, it is your area of research.
I do my work in biracial and multiracial work.
Yeah. Well, but anyways, it's devastating. 40 years, I've you know, loved Kermit and Miss Piggy, and after 40 years, they couldn't make it work. And if they couldn't make it work, you know, where's the hope for other people?
I can just imagine Kermit sitting on some lily pad in a pond somewhere in Florida, or wherever there's a pond somewhere. And
I think there's a lot of them here. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, just crying, but you don't know because the tears are falling into the water, so no one could ever kind of see.
You're so poetic.
Isn't it nice?
I have to tell you, you're really, really good. But but anyways.
He turned his pond into saltwater ocean from his tears.
Yeah.
Yeah, because salt and tears.
That's a lot of crying, okay? but anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about breakups today and share a little bit of information about that. So let's first start sharing about just miscellaneous information about breakups. Just, you know, just general information.
Off the top of my head.
Off the top of your head. Yes, of course. We're not going to read this.
We don't have any notes in front of us right now.
Okay. Okay. Now, all right. So here's the first one.
Okay.
Okay. Did you know that 43% of marriages break up within 15 years?
I did not know that.
Yes. And that men have a harder time with relationship breakups than women do. Yes, absolutely.
And why is that?
Well, because women, you know, and here I am being very
stereotypical. Against all women in the world?
No, not against all women, okay. But just stereotypical when it comes to gender identity and roles. But, you know, we can't escape the fact that women or men in particular are socialized not to express their feelings and not to rely on their friends and support system as much. You know, it's that whole mentality of just suck it up, take it like a man. You hear that, man up, you know, whereas
walk it off,
shake it off, you know, even though Taylor Swift sang a song called, you know, shake it off. Yeah. But anyways, but women, you know, tend to rely on other people and then they reach out to other friends, girlfriends, and talk about their feelings and share with one another. So that could be a reason why.
But I also wonder if there's a difference between if I'm breaking up with you, as we just witnessed, if I spent a lot of time thinking about how I'm going to do it, I had months of just sort of being disconnected, not feeling it, and trying to figure out why I was unhappy, and then finally broke up with you, I've kind of grieved that process
before the actual breakup happened.
Right,
yes.
So I feel better automatically, and then when you find out it's over, it's kind of a shock to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right, because in that scenario that you're giving, exactly, the person was perhaps blindsided.
So I'm wondering,
didn't have that time to prep.
Research, I mean, could be gender neutral in a sense.
Well, it could be.
So how we look at this too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's some other information. Okay, so did you know that the divorce rate of couples 65 years and older have doubled since 1980?
Mm-mm.
Women in general wait 3.1 years before they remarry, whereas men wait 3.3 years. Not that big of a difference.
That's significant of a difference, but still.
Mm-hmm. Here's another interesting information. But men and women in general tend to have a different idea of what infidelity is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So men tend to view infidelity on the grounds of physical indiscretion. So having an affair with somebody that it's physical, whereas women tend to view infidelity more from a emotional level. Okay.
So I would feel that way though. So like if Amanda cheated on me, well, either any type of cheating on me is horrible.
Yes.
So Amanda, don't do it, please. but the emotional one just feels like it hits so much harder.
Right.
Yeah. Cause you're spending time, you're sharing moments, and physical, it might just be kind of a in and out pardon my French, type of experience.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, both would be very painful, I'm sure. But, I mean, again, for women, it's just harder to work through and deal with the emotional aspect of, mm-hmm. of that. If their husbands or their boyfriends are... Or their partners are having an emotional relationship with somebody else, sharing secrets and feelings mm-hmm. with somebody else, as opposed to them, I can see how it would be very difficult.
Yeah.
So you are an evolved man. So
thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like an evolved man.
You are.
Sometimes.
Absolutely.
Did you know?
Yes.
Did you know this? That most breakups are announced on Mondays? And most breakups occur right before spring break or right before the holidays.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think that it would happen after the holidays.
Why do you think?
Well, because, they would want to enjoy the holiday experience before breaking up with the person.
But then aren't you spending all the money?
I would want the gifts.
Well,
honestly,
okay,
I want the gifts.
Yes.
All right.
But then you're buying gifts too.
Well, you know what? This time, if I know that I'm going to break up with somebody, then I wouldn't necessarily have to buy a gift, you know? Yeah. I'll just wait to receive the gift and then say, thank you, your gift is in the mail, and then break up with the person.
Just give them a bunch of travel size little things as
yes,
a hint
absolutely.
That I'm going to be breaking up with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it is that people don't want to spend those holidays or those special moments with the individual that they're breaking up with because it makes that time just more uncomfortable, they're unhappy, and their mind isn't focused in that moment. So breaking up with that and then having sort of a release of a holiday or spring break make things easier.
Right. So they can have the holiday and the vacation
Absolutely.
Or the break that they really want and have mm-hmm. the freedom behind that. But poor person who is the recipient of the breakup.
Yeah, they're in the holiday at the worst time mm-hmm. to be maybe apart from people.
Yeah. But you know what? It doesn't explain why Mondays are a popular...
Well, that's so easy.
Well, no, because wouldn't it make sense to break up on a Friday so that you can enjoy the weekend as opposed to waiting until Monday?
But Monday, if I break up with you on Monday morning.
Yes.
You have, I'm assuming you have a job. You have to go to work, right? So you're not going to be calling me. You're not going to be checking in on me. There's not going to be much Facebook work because you have to be at your job doing your things.
Okay.
And there's a whole week of you working.
Right.
Supposedly. And
allegedly. Yes.
You're working the whole week.
Right.
And so you're not focusing on us. And on me. I break up you on a Friday, you have that whole weekend to just sit and think about it.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I would, knowing me, I would be a little bit obsessive. And then I would go to your house, knock on the door. I'll be calling you all the time, texting you, what's going on? Right.
Well, also, as the breaker, I go to work and I could shift my mind to something else too. So it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I say personally, I have been in a breakup before. And it was on a Friday. Friday.
You broke up with somebody on a Friday.
Kind of like 4:30-ish. Like, you know.
Okay, you have the time down too. That's
dinner,
great.
Dinner, early bird special time.
Yeah.
For early, the breakup.
Well, you are getting older, so you do need to have that early bird special breakup time period. Yes.
My $6.99 steak. So I broke up with her and went to my apartment.
Yes.
But it was a long time coming. Like I knew I wasn't happy and there's a lot of signs. We'll talk about the signs, I think, too, today. But a lot of reasons why I knew I couldn't be with this person, at least at this time in my life.
Yeah.
And so I broke up on the Friday, went home. She stayed where she lived. I did learn from one person that said, never break up in your own house because then you have to get rid of the person.
Okay.
So it was difficult. So I knew I needed to go to her house. And
okay,
sort of
so wait,
break up with her.
Are we giving tips?
No.
On how to break up?
This is turning ugly.
I know. It's like, don't do it at your house.
I'm trying to paint a picture of my experience, right?
Okay, this is your experience.
This is my personal experience, which I don't recommend for other people.
Okay.
But breaking up on that Friday, the next day, she was at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't have to go to work or anything. And it was good. We talked through things and there was a little bit more of closure for both of us, I think. So it was good that she showed up. But you have to think about, what as the breaker, what you're leaving for the breakee and as a breakee, how that affects both of you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's good that you had that experience, and when she came back to talk to you, because mm-hmm. obviously she needed to process more, she needed sure. a little bit more closure, yeah. that you were open mm-hmm. to that, and you talked to her and you know, were able to have some type of closure. Was it good?
It was good.
That was good.
It was good.
For both you and her.
I think it helped both of us to sort of move on.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So it is kind of sketchy to wait until Monday with that idea of, oh, I don't have to deal with it and she doesn't have to deal with mm-hmm. it. You know?
But that's why most breakups are on Monday.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
people don't want to think about it, don't want to mm-hmm. sort of work together on a breakup. They just want to break up and it's over. And
right.
I think it's important to think about the other person in it and sort of the time that you spent together, that there's probably a lot of good times in there as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's good to know. Very interesting. Any other information?
Well, of course, the more breakups we actually go through, and I would think this is on either side mm-hmm. of the breakup, the more jaded we get about a relationship ever working out
yeah.
for us too.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, yeah. of course. I mean, if you're having experiences back to back where the relationship isn't working out, mm-hmm. then the next relationship, I mean, of course, you're going to be a little bit jaded. You're going to sure. be like, okay, so this, why would this one work out? Mm-hmm. Or I'm done with relationships. I'm never going to have another one again.
I'm just going to mess them up anyway. Yeah. They're never going to work out.
What's the
failure?
Point?
Yeah, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all very interesting. So so we have other research here that I think is very interesting.
Wait, there's studies that back up this stuff? Research?
Yes, a lot of research here wow. on relationships. It's amazing what's out there mm-hmm. and what researchers have uncovered in the whole whole experience mm-hmm. of breakups and relationships. But did you know, Derek, mm-hmm. that a breakup from a significant relationship causes more trauma in a person than other events or tragic moments in their lives?
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
Well, that's, I don't know. Do you have an idea why?
Well, I think when we look at tragic events, right?
Mm-hmm.
So trauma can happen sort of at a drop of a dime, and you're not anticipating it. You have no relationship with it potentially. And in a relationship breakup, you have built up such a comfort,
mm-hmm.
such a safety with that person. And when they break up with you, then you're very lost.
Mm-hmm.
And there's in crisis work, we talk about people who have been through a trauma. The world is no longer safe, no longer trustworthy.
Right.
Is no longer comfortable for them, and is no longer, and there's a lot more fear. Mm. within their lives. Mm-hmm. And if you had someone around you that was helping you sort of work to not have those feelings, then when you break up with them, then you're kind of by yourself.
Mm.
And it stings so much more. Plus your investment, I think, in that relationship sort of enhances and heightens the trauma experience yeah. from it.
You know, it's funny because what I think about is an experience that I had many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is well over 16 years ago because I've been together with my current partner for 16 years. But I was in a relationship with this one person who had a series of tragic events that happened in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he had cancer, he had a heart attack. I mean, he was, you know, fairly young person. He was in his early 20s and having these experiences. And he managed those really well. I remember I was with him during these whole experiences, but he lost it when I ended the relationship with him.
Really?
He had the hardest time and he could not let it go. He was severely depressed, had a lot of anxiety, and he dealt with it by abusing drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so looking at this information, this research, and associating it with my own experience, yeah, I can see that happening. Because again, you know, you would think that, oh my gosh, I have cancer, or I had cancer, and I had a heart attack, and physically, you know, my body at a very young age is, you know, there. But that was not as significant yeah. to him as this particular breakup.
Hmm. And what made you so important?
I'm not important. I don't know. I don't think it was me. I really don't think
yeah.
that it had anything to do with me. I just think that it was a the loss itself. It could have been anyone.
I think you were, I imagine you as a, I know you as a very nice and compassionate person, and probably a rock with him through most of his trauma if you were with him during that time. And he lost that.
Mm.
So that hurts.
Yeah.
He's going through everything by himself and alone. That's scary.
It is. Yeah. I can see that. But you know, it's interesting because just like with your breakup where you mm-hmm. had an opportunity to talk and have a little bit of closure with the person that you broke up with, we had that period. It was longer period because it was an ongoing process where we had to have, you know, time together.
Were you living together?
Yes, we were.
That makes it more difficult.
It makes it more difficult. I mean, luckily we had more rooms in the house and I was able to move in. And so we basically became roommates, but it was a really bad situation mm-hmm. because we saw each other day in and day out and we really tried not to talk to each other. And you know, and our schedule was such that we really didn't see each other a lot, but mm-hmm. anyways, it wasn't good. But anyways, I guess being in that situation gave us an opportunity to talk through our feelings and mm-hmm. emotions, and it was really helpful to him.
So I think what we're learning so far is in any breakup, it's good to not just break up and leave. Mm. I mean, unless it's a very physically harmful or emotionally harmful place for you to be, get out,
right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can talk to the other person, talk to the other person. They have feelings. You have feelings. You've been together in this for a while. As much as it's going to hurt,
mm-hmm.
you have to try. But also know that the person you broke up with may not want to talk to you right away.
Right. And not to force it.
Right.
Yeah. Wait until they are ready to talk about it. Absolutely.
It should not be about you. It should be about both of you.
Yes.
And understanding where each person is in the breakup.
Yeah. And, you know, and no matter how you ease into a breakup, it's still going to be very difficult mm-hmm. for both parties. Okay. So it really benefits both persons, yourself and the person that you are breaking up with or who's being broken up with, to have this opportunity to talk and process your emotions. Because yep. even though it's hard for that person, and you probably had an experience or time enough to process your own feelings, it's still nice to be able to have some type of closure with that partner.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Did you know another study came out of Stony Brook University?
Mm-hmm.
It compared the brains of people in love to those who recently split from their partners with the brains of cocaine addicts and stated that romantic rejection is a form of addiction, saying that if you were in a part of a breakup, you are going to go through the same withdrawal symptoms as if you were addicted to cocaine.
Yes. I did know that, by the way. Yes.
Well,
and
actually,
yeah. So what I did, it's interesting because I read that and I saw that. And I'm like, well, let me check out the symptoms mm-hmm. of cocaine withdrawal to see if there's any association with the symptoms that people experience when they have gone through a breakup. But here's the cocaine withdrawal symptoms. First one, see if you can relate to this, is depression. Absolutely. Depression is one. Anxiety is another. Okay, so two common symptoms.
Yep.
Inability to feel pleasure. And as we say in our profession, it's called anhedonia, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, just losing your interest in engaging in the hobbies that you used to enjoy, or, you know, listening to music, eating your, you know, favorite foods, going to your favorite places, mm-hmm. no longer is an interest to you. So
you're not feeling it anymore.
You're not feeling it anymore.
You're not feeling anything. Really?
Yes, absolutely. You can feel numb. And not only that, but you're exhausted too. This is another symptom, is exhaustion, you know, physical and emotional exhaustion, because you're spending so much time thinking mm-hmm. about this and obsessing over what just happened in these mm-hmm. feelings. Another symptom is difficulty concentrating. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And this last one is very interesting, but one of the symptoms of cocaine withdrawal is the intense craving for that cocaine, which mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense. If you're, you know, addicted to cocaine and then you stop using, your body is going to respond and say, well, what's going on? You know, I want more, give me more.
And that connects with concentration. Like, so if I am off my drug of cocaine, I'm thinking about getting back on my drug of cocaine, and that's where my concentration is. If you break up with me, I'm thinking about the breakup, and it's about you. There goes my concentration again. So it's all very well connected. Although we don't suggest that you try this and see the differences for yourself between the two.
We're not advocating for any type of drug use.
We're just looking at the physiological symptoms of this, and it shows how much breakups can really affect who we are and how we function throughout the day. They could really debilitate us in so many ways. So I think what's important, one thing that's important, we're going to talk about sort of how to work through a breakup, but of course, is having people close by and being able to have a support system that feels like they understand you and can be there for you during that.
Well, let me just share something else about cocaine withdrawal or any type of substance abuse withdrawal and what the brain goes through. This is neuropsychology, but you know, the brain gets activated with substance abuse the same way that the brain gets activated when you're in a relationship, especially if it's a new relationship and you're love, and you know, dopamine just goes crazy, you know, and releases all of these wonderful feelings.
It's like the honeymoon phase.
It's the honeymoon phase, you know. And so when you stop using drugs and alcohol, then the emission of those neurotransmitter that gives you that high, gives you that wonderful feeling, is depleted, and your brain responds basically saying, wait a minute, what's going on here? Okay, am I dying? What's going on? And it goes into overdrive with, I need more of this because something is happening to my body suddenly that I'm not used to, because I've been used to the experience of using these drugs and alcohol. And so the brain and the body wants it even more. And it's the same thing with relationships. If you are having these wonderful feelings and experiences, and you're having these neurotransmitters being stimulated in your brain, and then that's gone, you're going to be obsessive and want to get that relationship back.
You're going to crave, you're going to lust.
You're going to crave and lust. Yeah. So there's definitely a physiological response to a breakup that needs to be paid attention to. And, well, the last thing here on the research on breakup is what's a theory. It's called prospect theory. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about
it. Yes. Okay. So it's this theory that we have a harder time with loss than we do with gain. Okay. So we are very happy and we're excited with our new relationships. You know, we respond to that. But if we lose that relationship, then we have a harder time than when we gain it. And there was a very well-known study about participants given an opportunity to gain $50 or to lose $50.
Yes, the $50 study.
The $50 study. And they found that the prospect of gaining $50 had a certain level of emotional reaction where people were really excited about that. But what was greater was the emotional response to losing $50 that they already had. And they had the participants had a greater emotional response to the possibility of losing $50.
Okay. I imagine it has to do with time. So if I own this $50, I've been living with this $50, we go out to dinner a lot or go to the movies, and this $50, you know, talks to me when I'm feeling down and is taking care of me. Then when I lose it, that's horrible. I had all these wonderful things I'm benefiting from these $50, rather than just walking up and saying, oh, hey, there's $50 right there. That's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, so you shared with me that you have been broken up with.
Yes.
Okay. So what was that experience for you?
Well, I have to say there's two experiences that stick out for me. One, I kind of was anticipating it, but not really anticipating it. Maybe I didn't want myself to think it was going to happen. And after that, I mean, I wept. It was painful. I called.
How long were you in the relationship?
A few months. Yeah, but it was a pretty intense few months.
Okay. Emotionally, physically, it was all there. Okay.
Mostly emotionally intense. Yeah, I would say very, very emotionally intense. So I was like done. Like, I didn't know what to do, and I still had to work and do therapy, which isn't a good thing to do as a therapist when you feel like your mind is somewhere else.
Right.
So, you know, you have to take care of yourself and stop doing therapy. But
yeah,
it just took me down. And the only thing that saved me was time, and just kind of working through and kind of rationalizing and thinking about and kind of walking through the relationship in my head and finding all those points where, okay, here, I should have known. Here are some indicators of where, when it was going to break up and stuff. So that one hit me hard and took me a while to get through it.
So tell me, what I'm interested in knowing is, so you had this experience.
Yeah.
So knowing about prospect theory, how we respond, we have a deeper response to losing something than to gaining something. What were some of the messages, if you can recall, that you told yourself after the breakup?
That I was a happy person before the relationship.
Okay.
And I'll be a happy person after the relationship.
So you told yourself, I'll get through this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I knew.
I'm talking about in your lowest point of depression.
Oh, I'm never going to meet anyone again. This is the end of my relationships. I'm a spoiled rotten type of being, you know, like just
like no good person.
No good.
Nobody's going to want you. Nobody.
No.
you're damaged
flawed,
goods.
I'm a failure. I'm damaged goods. All those things. I mean, it when you're kind of in that low, and I would say the same thing if you're experiencing any type of depressive mood, it's very easy for those cognitions and thoughts to sort of jump in and just sort of consume you, because there's nothing in you that's saying, no, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's no logic that's saying, you're going to get through this. You're just kind of experiencing what's hitting you in that moment. So at the lowest low, yeah, that's what I was feeling.
Okay.
After getting through that and having a support system and talking to people and realizing that I was a person before the relationship and I'll be a person after the relationship, that's when things started, you know, getting a little better for me.
Okay, good. So you were able to do some cognitive restructuring on your experience. But at your lowest point, you did have those negative thoughts.
Oh,
about
so tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure it's not easy thinking about, oh my gosh, no one's going to want me again. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a horrible
thing.
Oh, and
then they wanted to call and talk about the breakup.
Okay. And how did you feel about that?
I did not respond to any phone calls or voice messages or text messages or anything like that, because I needed my time.
Yeah.
And it just made me more angry. And the more angry I got that this person who broke up with me was trying to reconnect with me, it made me feel worse.
Reconnect with you in what sense? Do they want to be friends with you?
I think, I don't know, friends or not. It could be friends. It could have been to feel better about themselves and not feel like a bad person for breaking up with someone.
Right.
I don't really know the reasons. But
have you spoken to her since?
Yeah, but not. I guess we've spoken a bit about the breakup, but it was by the time we did it was moot.
Okay,
you know, I was kind of through it, and she was through it, so it was like, oh, that happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, that made me more angry, and it made me sit in those sort of depressed, sad feelings longer. Yeah.
You know what's important to note is how people respond differently to breakups, and you know what I'm struck by your story right now is how you really took a more you know, stepping back approach to the breakup. You know, you needed your time, you needed your space, you didn't want to necessarily talk to her or approach her. Whereas other people, when they get into that breakup mode of, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on here? I need that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will actually go and pursue that person more. And you've mentioned that too, when we talked about people breaking up on Mondays and, you know, and so forth. Because, you know, there are some people who do respond that way. Let me go call, text, let me go to that person's house. And that's not what you experienced.
No, I think in those cases, like I can imagine someone who's being broken up with saying, you're the only person who understands me. You're the only person that gets me. And to lose that, of course they're going to pursue, and of course they're going to crave and sort of want to be in that again, because we don't know what their history is before then.
Mm-hmm.
It could not have been that great. And then this relationship might've felt like a savior to them. So of course they're going to run straight to it and say, no, you have to be wrong. This isn't, we have to be together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason why I say this is because I know that one of the big stories that I saw when I was in LA was about Khloe Kardashian.
Khloe. Yes.
Is it Khloe Kardashian?
Yeah.
You know, and her, I don't know if it's her boyfriend or husband, Lamar.
They were married.
Hold on. They were married. Okay. So apparently they are in the process of breaking up. They're going through a divorce, I'm assuming. And Lamar recently has made the news, hit the tabloids about, and is being accused, allegedly, for stalking Khloe.
Really?
And exactly. And so there was a recent event where she was, I think she was going to a gym somewhere, and it was early in the morning. She got out of her car, and then there is Lamar, and he went up to her and it was actually shouting and saying things to her. So apparently he's not taking this breakup very well. She told him to leave her alone. He wouldn't, and he kept pursuing her. And at one point, he grabbed her arm, and she started to scream, and there were witnesses, and people were like, I'll call the police.
I'm sure it's all over the news and TMZ and stuff.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, yeah. and being a public figure, of course, you can't do anything without the world knowing. But, I mean, again, just, you know, here's an example, whereas with your breakup, you had a, you know, let me just take a step back. Need my time, whereas he needed to pursue this relationship. He's like, there was no closure, and he wasn't accepting the fact. And and I don't know, rumor has it, and allegedly, that he's abusing drugs and alcohol even more. And I'm assuming that this is his way of coping with the loss.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is what a lot of people do.
I did it.
You did.
I went out to the bars and had some drinks. Yeah. Mm.
You know what? Remember when we were in college, we had a friend of ours who, I think when I mentioned this, but anyways, he went through a breakup. And I remember right after that, he started hitting the bars, and he was not only abusing alcohol, but abusing drugs, a lot of club drugs. And I remember in our circle of friends, we had a big concern about him.
Yeah.
Because that's how he was choosing to deal with his broken relationship.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes you just need to numb, you know, and I think people feel that I don't want to experience this pain of and this hurt and this rejection from people and or from this person. And if I drink or use drugs, even prescription, non-prescription, whatever it is, I don't have to feel that anymore. I just can go numb.
And well, men tend to abuse drugs and alcohol more than women after a breakup. I mean, again, I'm assuming, I'm thinking that men have less of that emotional outlet.
Sure.
Where they have all these emotions and feelings, don't know what to do with it. So then they go out and abuse drugs and alcohol.
Right. And with Lamar, I think previously in the relationship when they were married, he was using still back then. So after, and when you are using drugs, there is sort of a relationship with that drug. And there are points, there's lows, and at points that feels good. It could be comforting for some people. And when this breakup with Chloe happened, he went back to what made him feel comfortable.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I can imagine while he was using drugs and alcohol that he was emotionally distant.
Yeah.
Okay. In his gain, in his relationship, but now that he lost his relationship with Chloe, he is having this huge emotional response. And I mean, again, pursuing her and allegedly stalking her. Now, this is something that's really interesting too. And I want to hear what you think about this. But you know, the studies show that men tend to abuse alcohol and drugs more after a breakup, but that women use alcohol and drugs less than they used previous to the breakup.
So if they were drinking in the relationship after the breakup.
It could be socially. It could be, you know, they were just drinking socially, you know, you know, maybe once a week or something. But after the breakup, they tend to
reduce that even more. Did it say what they do instead?
Well, no, it didn't say what they did instead. But I could imagine, you know, reaching out to friends and family member and having that emotional support and finding new relationships.
Well, if we're going to be stereotypical, and sometimes we are, and view females as more emotionally connected to people and to their hearts and stuff, then I could see the support system being around there and people saying, just come over, let's just chat, let's just hang out, and not needing to run away from the emotions and being with alcohol and drugs, but feeling like it's okay to sort of sit with those.
And so when you used alcohol, was it alcohol and drugs or just alcohol?
Just alcohol.
Just alcohol. You started, you noticed that you were going to the bars more, going out and drinking, numbing those experiences.
I think that first night I'm like, I went to my roommate and I'm like, we're going out tonight. I don't care where we go. You choose. And then I got there and I went straight to the bar, got a beer and stood around with him and then realized, oh, I hate being here because everyone's in a damn relationship around me. And it made me finish that beer and go get another beer. And then I kept doing that. And then I got disgusted at doing that, and then I stopped. It was kind of a weird.
Well, what do you think experience. Helped you stop that? Because that's a destructive behavior.
It was.
That's not the best way to cope with your feelings and emotions, and we know that.
Well, yeah. I mean, part of it was I was responsible and I had to work, so I couldn't maintain that sort of lifestyle and be able to pay my bills or anything like that. So luckily, it happened on a weekend. So I could just kind of go out from there. Actually, it was on break, so I had a bunch of days off. But I was just able to eventually just feel like I didn't need that anymore. I mean, I don't feel good in the morning if I have that much to drink at all.
Yeah.
So those sort of things started jumping in, and the logic kicked in and said, nah, this isn't the best way to work through this. And you're psychotherapist by trade, you know, emotions, let's kind of sit and think about and feel what's going on right now.
Yeah. You know, you and I both said it's not the best way to handle, you know, abusing drugs or alcohol is not the best way we shouldn't even say that. It's a destructive
way. It is
way.
A very destructive
way. We shouldn't even compare it to the best.
I mean, it's a coping mechanism, right? So all coping mechanisms, whether they're positive or negative, and negative, we would assume drugs and alcohol would be a part of that. The person is still taking care of themselves, which I think is a great thing for people to be resilient and be able to handle themselves and know themselves and care for themselves. But after a while, it can get bad and destructive in other parts of their life. So initially, I would never tell someone, oh, you went through a breakup. Maybe you should go out and get drunk tonight.
Right.
Here's a bottle of scotch and, you know, it'll help you through it. I would never say that. But if they're doing that on their own and it's taking away a little of the pain and they know that this isn't the way I should be doing it, then I'm not that against it at any level.
Okay. No, and I understand that. And I wouldn't advocate for it. I wouldn't say, oh, let's go out and have a drink. And, you know, which a lot of people do. A lot of friends who, you know, I'm sure you probably had some friends who said the same thing. It's like, oh, let's go out and drink. Let's forget about this. And, you know, and then you start to develop this pattern and so forth. But I mean, again, being in the profession that we are in, we know that this is not the best way.
No.
So it's not something that I would advocate.
Okay, so moving on, sometimes breakups can be affected, or we notice sort of how things are happening over social media, right? I mean, you talked about celebrities and stuff like that, and that sort of puts your relationship in the forefront. But social media can damage a relationship at times, sort of leading up to a breakup. I don't know if you knew this, but it's shown that excessive Facebook use can seriously damage a relationship, and it's linked to emotional and physical cheating, breaking up and divorce, according to a study that was published in the Journal of Cyberpsychology, Behavior, and Social Networking. So any thoughts on
I
that?
I totally can see that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and it depends on the amount of use and dependence you have on social media. I know that there was a period of time when I started Facebook, and I was pretty late in the game.
I was
as
too,
far as,
yeah.
I mean, people were talking about Facebook, and I'm like, "What? I don't know what you're talking about. What is this?" You know. But it was years and years of people and friends saying, "Why aren't you on Facebook?" And you know, and I'm like, "Ah, I just have no interest whatsoever to be on it." But as soon as I got on it and started to reconnect with friends that I haven't spoken to in a long time, I found myself being on it all the time.
Yeah.
And I just was so interested in what was going on in different people's lives.
You
and
became
I was,
a stalker, didn't
I,
you?
I, you know, allegedly. Yes.
Allegedly,
yes.
You became a stalker.
But, you know, so I stopped paying attention to what was going on in my life and started focusing on other people's lives. Right. And, you know, and there's been studies to show that when, you know, people who use Facebook excessively are more likely to experience depression because they look at how wonderful the lives of other people are, which is very selective on what people post on Facebook.
Oh, nobody's posting, you know, my day is horrible, my life. Well, some people post that, but I think when people post that, they're looking for people to care for them. They're kind of fishing
but most people post
like I post pictures of Miles, my dogs, Amanda, all the fun things we do.
Oh, and same thing. I'm not going to post it. Oh, I'm I'm feeling sick today. I'm feeling bloated. You know, I'm not, everyone look at me. Oh my God, I had a horrible day today.
I could tell you, Sam does not post that, but just call everybody he knows and tells them he's feeling bloated.
That happens often, but you know, people post the best thing that's going on in their lives. I know that while I was away on vacation, I posted my vacation pictures, every one. And of course I had to edit every single picture and it had to be the best picture, you know, and it's always from the, you know, chest up. You know, I can't, you know, go down. You know, but then so that other people view this and compare their own lives and what's going on to those of other people, and then so that can contribute to depression and can contribute in impacting the way that they are relating to other people in their current relationship.
Why can't we have that?
Exactly.
Essentially. Yeah. And it's said that in another study, Facebook is blamed for 1 in 5 divorces and is the primary source for online evidence of for the breakups themselves.
Yes. Well, you know, and you hear stories about people reconnecting with old flames on Facebook, and it's so easy to do. And then you have your private chats and you can talk to them and you, you know, get caught up into this experience. Right. And of course, your partner can somehow access this information and learn about your chats.
That's right.
Yeah.
And finally, 59% of people remain Facebook friends with their ex after they've broken up.
Do you recommend that?
No. No. Just move on from that point. Maybe in the future you can reconnect as friends. But I can't imagine staying friends with someone after I've been broken up with, just watching them have these great moments. Because they're not posting bad moments.
No.
Having these wonderful moments in life. And I'm like, God damn it. That was, that could have been me. And I think it makes you, you know, crazy.
Absolutely. I have friends who have remained Facebook friends with their exes. And I hear about it all the time. Oh my gosh, did you know that so-and-so is in London now and so-and-so is dating this other person? And, you know, and it just irritates me, aggravates them. And it just really, it's like pouring salt on a wound, you know? So I would not be friends. If I had a breakup with somebody, I just would not. I would have to have a clean break from that person.
Oh my
God,
yeah. And it makes it so easy to connect with your exes. So let me give an example here. So I dated this girl way a long time ago, dated this woman way a long time ago. And me and Amanda had just gotten married, and I got a Facebook, like, instant message on Facebook that no one else could see it. I could see it only, I guess, Messenger.
Yes, right.
And it said, I'm paraphrasing, congratulations on your wedding. I always knew you wanted to get married, and that was so damn important to you.
Whoa. Okay.
Right. So, and it came in, of course, like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning type of message. But the social media makes you so easily connected to people. And I don't know how this person found out, because they weren't friends, but we might have mutual friends and all that stuff. But it can make the pain extend on for a longer period of time. So break ties. De-Facebook friend, de-Twitterize, whatever.
You know what?
Anything.
Seriously, just be aware of the time that you spend on social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, be aware of how this is impacting your relationships and seeing how you are comparing yourself. You know, I mean, that's what Andrew and I do all the time. We look at your Facebook page and
you
say,
love
why can't we be like you
They're
guys?
They're so
fun
and amazing and awesome. You know, and we're blah. And
well, that's why I defended you on Facebook.
Oh, you did?
No, I'm just kidding.
I thought I defended you.
Okay, so let's move on, because you know, we've been talking about these breakups and, you know, how it's impacting people and so forth. What can we do about breakups when we are experiencing this? How can we manage these breakups? Okay, so there are actually, surprise, surprise, studies that have shown what is effective ways of dealing with breakups. Okay, so ruminating, for example. Okay, there was a study published by the Social, Psychological, and Personality Science Journal and found that people who actually ruminate about their relationships after a breakup do better than those individuals who decide to suppress their feelings and actually go out to the bars and drink. Ah, let's forget about this and you know, just go and have fun.
So let's talk about what's ruminating.
Is thinking about the relationship
over and over.
One can say it's obsessive thinking, okay? And, you know, one, I mean, you know, social conventions dictate that, oh, you shouldn't do that because it's a bad thing to do. But it actually, research has shown that it actually helps people get over those experiences of a breakup.
It's almost like when you're grieving and you're telling the story of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you tell that story, the easier it gets to tell that story, the less heightened painful emotions are connected to that story.
Right. Yes.
We're not saying move to the point where you have, you're numb when you're telling the story, but you get a more of an understanding of, okay, who was I within this experience?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there, it's okay. Things are going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and whenever I talk to my clients or to friends and they're experiencing grief, because breakups is experiencing grief, they always say, I try to forget about it. I'm like, no, why are you trying to do that? You're not making it go away. You're just suppressing those feelings and those thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's going to fester inside of you until it gets to the point where you're going to have a very cathartic experience and let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you are going to experience the healing.
And we've said it before, but people are more likely to turn to alcohol than food. And try not to do that.
I
think we understand, all of us have done it in relationships, breakups, but try not to. There's other places that can make you feel better and people that can make you feel better than alcohol.
Okay, so instead of running and reaching out to alcohol, it's best to reach out to
friends.
Don't
do what I did.
Yes.
Let me be your guinea pig, or that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, okay. And, well, what about having sex after a breakup? Just finding somebody else and just getting into another sexual or romantic relationship. Okay? Well, 58% of people who have experienced a breakup have sex with somebody new within a month of their breakup.
They want their closeness back.
They do want that. Again, it's just that thinking of, I need to be in a relationship, that obsessive thinking where the brain is responding to this loss, again, going back to prospect theory, and they feel that they can relieve those feelings by getting into another relationship.
And all it's doing is externalizing that emotion and
you're
that
not,
pain.
Exactly. You are not internally processing and dealing with those feelings by going out and having this physical act outside. You know, if you want to have sex, and, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you're really not working through your
issues. Dr. Sanabria is saying that you should never have sex.
No, I'm not saying that.
ever after
I
a breakup.
I am a huge advocate for sex, but So let's give some tips on how to improve mental health. So the first tip is
to let yourself grieve.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just ruminate, think about it, process it. Understand that this was a very significant part of your life, and it's okay that it remains a significant part of your life, and it'll help you get through it better.
Absolutely. Just let yourself grieve. It's a real emotion. Don't deny yourself. Another thing that you can do is actually forgive yourself for whatever happened in the relationship. Because you're going to start thinking about, what did I do in the relationship? I should have done this. I should have done that. And you can obsess over those experiences. But it's important that you forgive yourself for whatever contributions you had in the breakup.
Yeah. And surround yourself with people. Healthy friends that want you to go through this grieving and this tough time in a positive way, not ones that are going to force you into drugs and drinking, into risky behaviors, but ones that are okay listening to things you've been going through and are able to be an ear for you.
Yeah, select that support system. Mm-hmm. You have good support systems and bad influences. And we already mentioned this. Refrain from drug or alcohol use.
Yeah.
You're just not helping yourself. Mm-hmm. You're actually causing more problems.
And as Dr. Sanabria said, never have sex. Ever.
No, I never.
Ever have sex.
Enjoy sex. I'm just saying that it's not resolving the problem. It's just a little Band-Aid over the problem, okay? But you can still have a good time. and speaking of time, take your time, okay? Don't feel like you have to get over these feelings and emotions at a certain period of time. If it takes days, if it takes weeks, if it takes months, embrace it. Take the time that you need in order to heal. This is important to you and your own mental health. Don't rush yourself. Mm-hmm.
And finally, be okay that if you cannot get through this on your own with your friends, call a counselor, call a therapist. sit down and talk to someone about this, someone who's unbiased, not connected to the relationship, who's not going to give you advice or say, well, you deserve to be out of it. They're just going to listen to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
So listen, we're at the end of our show and, you know, we've had a great conversation. We've learned a lot about breakups, how it impacts us. Derek, what is your takeaway?
I have none.
Oh, you have none? No takeaway.
No, I think the one thing that I always fall back on in my practice is creating a healthy support system for yourself. Yeah. And if you're having a really rough time, and that's fine, you expect that that's going to be a part of it, and it's normal for you to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Just surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my takeaway is to be kind to yourself, okay? Allow yourself to grieve, okay? Recognize your feelings and emotions and, you know, just be there for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Care about yourself.
Absolutely.
You deserve it.
Thank you. You do too.
Oh, thanks. Very nice. So, and this brings us to the end of our show. And thanks for joining us on this podcast. We will be continuing our, I'm going to call it a mini series.
Okay, call it a mini. Well, it is. Yeah, it's a little series. Absolutely. On relationships. This is the dark side of relationships.
The dark side of relationships. The dark side of the moon.
And what are we going to talk about next time?
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
Oh my God.
I am a jealous person. Okay, so I'm looking forward to this one.
I can't wait to hear all your stories.
Okay, good. I have some.
So thanks for listening to Freudian Quips again on WPRK 95.1 FM Rollins College Radio. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter where you can connect with the show and interact with the show. Write us questions, tell us your stories, send us money, draw pictures for us, anything you want to do. We'll interact right back with you and maybe you'll make it on the air as one of our secret guest people. Until then, I am Dr. Palladino.
And I'm Dr. Sanabria.
And be mentally healthy and word to your edible complex. If I told you
things I did before. You are listening to
WPRK
91.5 FM.
The best.
The best in basement radio.
WPRK.
WPRK.
Yes, it's right.